Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to all of our cherished supporters. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Can We Talk with Jewel podcast once again, proudly sponsored by fundraisingcup.org ministries. You know, as always, we're thrilled to have you join us today and always as we delve into topics that uplift our communities and nurture our spiritual growth. Your ongoing support and donations are invaluable to us, and I encourage you all to continue to contribute to this mission of love and light with the podcast as well as fundraisingcup.org. So please donate, and in order to continue supporting those in need internationally, we need you to donate at least a dollar. $13 would be ideal, but if you can give at least a dollar, it would make a difference. So please do that. Okay, today's topic is breaking through the lies and secrets. Now, I selected this particular topic as a result of my very own, yes, breakthrough following our 40-week fast, guys, because the Lord only knows I've been up against a Goliath. I kid you not. But I also want to discuss how family secrets and lies that can lead to something far greater than even our government agencies can control or regulate. And that's largely due to manipulation, bribery at a massive level, guys. So you guys are in for a special treat with this podcast coming off the cusp exactly at the 40-week mark. Tell me our father can't do it, all right? So welcome back, because this show is really good. It's going to be really good today, filled with enlightenment, revelations that will heal many, many families around the world and may even solve a lot of cold cases. So your girl's back, she ain't holding back, and she's putting it all out there so that these people could give it back. You heard me? So with that said, I know many of you have been following my personal story for some time now and may have been wondering, why would someone's family delve into so much corruption, bribery, divinations, organized crime, targeting, experimentation, all of this for freaking inheritance, right? And the answer is, I have to tell you guys, family secrets. These family secrets would also be exposed with handing over that inheritance and it reaching its rightful hands. And I know many of us wouldn't believe people would go to a certain degree to keep secrets buried in the grave. But when certain people feel like they've reached a certain level in society, they don't want to be looked at a certain kind of way, and all of their sick fetishes and sick things they've done be laid out for other people to judge. So it would be easier to get rid of the product of what was done than actually kind of sit with it, repent, and do better. So we're going to talk a lot. We're going to talk about incest, guys. We're going to talk about incest relations. We're going to have a little Maury session here. And we are going to talk about, we talked about divinations and witch practices before. So that's nothing new, with our show. We don't shy around what needs to be discussed here, but we're also going to talk about premature murders, right? And families and a whole lifetime. We're going to have a lifetime show here, or maybe a Netflix series, you can call it, with today's podcast. But, you know, this stuff has been buried for far too long, and we're going to really put it out there today and share what's been going on. So for some, it was well worth the investment to torture me and some others, and murder some family members, prematurely, innocent people, when they felt their reputation was on the line. They felt that it was a good investment. But lucky for us, we finally had this breakthrough. Ladies and gentlemen, just yesterday, the mask fell off. Do you hear me? Just yesterday. I don't know if you guys can hear my background, but you know that the devil's busy when the tea's about to be spilled. Everybody want to call you at the same time, knock on your door. The devil know he's sending everybody. No, we're not getting that right now. We're going to focus on this story. So, as I said, they thought it was a good investment, and they did what they did. Now, but lucky for us, we finally had that breakthrough, and when these masks fell off, which they did heavily, I want to share with you all, as a matter of fact, the latest stunt some of my family members tried to pull, or should I refer to them as the Three Stooges? I'm laughing because the real sick part about all of this is that these individuals actually attended many of my celebrations and events and stood in the forefront of many photos with me and had the audacity to tell me I need to keep an eye out on another family member, all while conspiring my very own early departure. I mean, talk about diabolical, right? So if there is one girl that understands being related but not really family, it's your girl. It's me. You see, the thing about those that work in deception, they usually run the same playbook. And I told you guys this before in a prior podcast. Especially if they had some success with that playbook in the past, because they figure, well, why change it if it works, right? We can drive the person crazy. We can, you know, deceive them and then pull the rug right up from under them before they realize it. And in my case, they were very successful in infringing on my boundaries, into my personal space and business, practicing dark magic, staging illnesses that were really results of them playing in divinations, stealing my mail, guys. Yes, they went as far as having copies of my keys in the past and present. You're going to hear about that. And stealing my mail. Oh, my gosh. And unfortunately, back then, I couldn't prove it because, you know, they would just tell people, oh, you know, don't listen to her. She's just crazy. And then they would gaslight me. It was a whole playbook that they had and worked through. And we finally broke through this matrix, guys. He's matrix alive. So I'm excited. And that's why you guys are getting this podcast early this week. So let's jump into this showcase, shall we? So typically, I have family members. As you guys know, I shared with you. Practice divinations, they would meet up in the graveyard and carry out their ritualistic practices in hopes to conjure up some dark entity they would send on people or drive them crazy, bring them misfortune, yada, yada, yada. So they would then be seen leaving their homes in perfect health. They're fine when they leave their houses and, you know, they go out to do these rituals. But then sometimes it doesn't work out and they deal with a backfire, right? A return to sender, if you will. And, I know in the last, it was not the last podcast, but the prior podcast, I told you guys, we're going to start to see the results of the stuff that these individuals have done in the dark because it was going to come back. Well, sure enough, guys. That's what happened, right? And they would go out, they would be just fine, and then they would come back 2-3 weeks later with such a hit back from all that dark stuff they were messing with, they practically lost their minds in that short period of time. I kid you not. This has happened multiple times, with individuals in my family. And, then you would think that would be enough for them to maybe learn a lesson, stop doing it. But they, you know, since they had some successful moments in the past, they can't let go of those good old times. And so they would still put their own health at risk by doing this. And if that wasn't bad enough,
right? When it doesn't work out, whatever they did, they need a fall guy. They need to blame someone and say, well, you were supposed to take care of this person and look how sick they are. It's your fault. No, it's your fault for delving into that darkness and getting the results of your actions. So in my case, I had a family member that recently departed to do that with their family, went to go visit them in another location. They were there for approximately 2 to 3 weeks in typical ritual fashion. And as I said, they celebrated their favorite holiday of Halloween. And exactly what I said happened. And then brought this individual back with an entire falsified story on how I somehow had something to do with it again this time. But this time, they actually exposed their hands on themselves because they didn't realize that I had a hidden camera in my home. Yes, guys. I had a camera in my home, and it's so funny because this particular camera has been so finicky with me. I had it posted up on the wall, so it wasn't intended to be hidden, but God made it be, right, that this camera kept falling down on the floor. And I would get agitated. I bought all kinds of specialized Velcro, long story. But whatever I did, it would not stay on the wall. Well, I realize now it was because God made it so. It was time to reveal what these hidden devils plan and conspire behind my back and all their setups, and that's what exactly happened. So, yes, they were on Candid Cam talking about we need to get into her mailbox. We need to get that debit card. Now, these individuals flew from one state to another, and then they drove 100 miles after meeting up with that family member doing their rituals. They drove 100 miles from that location to my location. But through all of this, they didn't realize that the person was mentally ill, or at least mentally ill enough to drop them off at an institution during that 100-mile ride. I'm wondering at what juncture exactly did they realize that she was so mentally ill, but it was so urgent to get her back to my home that they drove the 100 miles, and then you would think at that point they would just go straight to the hospital because, after all, her health was their priority. No, it was getting into my home. You see, they got into my home with her key, and they were recorded saying, we need to get into that mailbox and see if there's a debit card. And, you know, going into someone's mailbox, guys, is a felony for a reason. And the setup at play here will further explain why it's such a big deal. So while away from my home with my children, I get a call now from someone. I want to paint this picture as clear as I can, so follow me. I get a call from someone at Family and Children Protective Services. And, of course, I am clueless as to what's going on because that's, of course, how my family likes it. If I'm on the defense, I can't possibly be prepared to defend myself appropriately on a recorded line. And, of course, she proceeds to start to interrogate me based on the false narrative these three stooges collaborated, kikied about on their 100-mile drive, and convinced themselves this would surely incarcerate me at least, or at least shut me up from doing these podcasts. Either way, it would work in their benefit. And so the woman begins steering the questions, almost to insinuate that I was aware this family member lost her mind. And I left her alone without any supervision in that particular condition and without medication. And as I'm trying to defend myself and kind of gather my thoughts into, what do you mean this person lost their mind? The last I seen them, they were pretty stable. What is going on? She left my, when last time I seen her, she left my house. I didn't see any signs of instability. She was going, coming, doing her regular thing. Even sending out really cohesive emails to individuals that were well articulated. There was nothing wrong with this individual. Well, then she hits me with this knockout punch that I barely could bounce back from, guys, because this one blew my mind. And those of you who follow me, follow my career, you know that my background is in money laundering and terrorist financing. And so this woman proceeds to state, and she transferred $70,000 into your account before all of this happened. I said, what? I was flabbergasted, like, ma'am, what account are you talking about? Fortunately, I had pulled in an associate onto the call because I anticipated that there was going to be some foolishness. And I thank God for the insight, because this individual I pulled in the call, they jumped in and intervened on my behalf. They seen that I was getting flustered and confused and just overwhelmed with emotion, as anyone would be, trying to figure out, what is this woman talking about? I don't have $70,000 in any of my accounts. I wish somebody did send me that, but no, ma'am, you got the wrong one. At least there's no account that I know of. And the person that was on the line, they know about this situation. They've been following me. They've been supporting me, praying me through it. We've been fasting together, going through this breakthrough. So, you know, they were very familiar with what my family has done and are capable of. And they jumped right on into the conversation, introduced themselves, and directed the question back at the woman on the line and said, ma'am, are you aware that they have tried to kill her on multiple occasions? And to be completely honest with you all, I'm not even sure what else this woman was saying. All I heard was, I could have the police come to you right now. And I think at that point, all I could think of was what was going to happen with my children. So I kind of I think faded out, right? Went straight to black. And that's all my children really have. And it was, I just hit a zone that I wouldn't want anyone else to ever hit. And that's one of the reasons why I'm sharing this story, because I don't want anyone else to experience any of this corruption at its highest levels. These three stooges, or three musketeers, if you will, ran this very same play on me that I escaped in another state. Now, although I didn't know all of the facets of this play, I had no idea that they may have put in false reports or anything like that in the past. I just intuitively knew that I needed to get away from these people. And I didn't even want them to know where I lived, because I suspected foul play, as they took all of my property, went through my mail, took mail. They've done this before. And I was so livid. I said, you know what? I'm just going to cut cords, cut ties, have nothing to do with them. And I guess they felt that they were so successful in stealing my property and doing this before, they didn't think twice in coming again for me in the same fashion. And I was really upset. I'm not going to lie to you guys, because I really didn't want these people, one, to even know where I live, and two, to have access to where I live, of course. And I'm pretty sure they probably made copies of my keys, and it seems like they may have even made copies of my mailbox key, because getting in there seemed pretty essential to them, at least on the video recording. And when I had to calm down. I literally had, because it was so overwhelming, that I know sometimes when you're hit with so many bombs all at the same time, you know, these attacks, which my family just loves. They love to put you in a state of anxiety and it just burden you unnecessarily before they come in with the main blow. I have learned to master self and learn how to relax, learn how to not call this woman back, speak to her in this state of confusion, frustration, all of these emotions that's going through me, and just take a moment to sit down and analyze and figure out what exactly is happening here. And that's precisely what I did. I decided at that point I was going to go straight to my bank that I opened here in this state, that was a shared bank account with that family member used to pay bills. And I went in there to find out what's going on. Was there money transferred here? You know, before we get into claims of any kind of elder abuse that could affect my livelihood and employment, I need to know what's going on. So I asked them to print me out a statement and let me know what's going on with the account. And they said, ma'am, this account was closed. I said, excuse me? The gentleman said, yes, the other party closed the account shortly before she traveled with the family members. So I was like, this is not an account I use regularly. We only share it to pay certain shared expenditures and communicate via text to do so, because, of course, I always want to make sure I have an audit trail to back me up and never get into one of those funny situations. So in any case, I said, I need to know how this account was closed. And the guy, of course, looked at me like, what do you mean? I said, did they come into a branch? And he said, yes, they walked in and they closed it on October 7th. I said, and there wasn't a transfer of any $70,000 placed in this account? He said, no, ma'am. It was just closed out. There's really no reason as to why. So after I spoke with him, I had the statements in my hand. I sat there in the waiting area, just reflecting and reviewing the images on the hidden camera again and again and again, trying to figure out what is going on. What is this woman talking about? And then it hit me. I realized that they took my keys and checked my mailbox for this debit card, she kept saying, and she emphasized, we have to get the debit card, you know, right on beat like that. And I'm thinking they drove 100 miles for this debit card that I knew nothing about. This could possibly be identity theft. And I'm being framed with an account that was opened in my name that I don't have access to, know anything about, and they needed to get the debit card for it. Secondly, this ill family member did not seem to be fully aware of the Three Stooges / Musketeers plan, as she was on camera insisting on packing her bag. Now, I don't know what they told her, where she was going, if she needed to come back and get more clothes, but something was not matching up. Right? Because she kept saying, you know, I got my bag. I'm ready to go. She packed it up and she was ready to go. And they kept telling her, oh, you don't need your bag. We're just going to run to the mailbox really quick. And she was like, no, I need to take my luggage. And I like almost like if she was just being hit with the truth of you may be set up yourself here. And as I'm watching the video, I'm realizing that they drove all the way here for this mailbox. This wasn't about her getting into any medical facility or caring about her health to this degree. This mailbox was key to whatever piece of this puzzle that they were trying to piece together here. And they ultimately planned on deceiving her after they went to the mailbox and simply drop her off at the hospital with this false statement and new diagnosis. I don't know where they got that diagnosis from, what doctor they were able to finagle that out of, but they got this new diagnosis of her having complete dementia overnight, and I guess told someone at the hospital the story about the 70K and had them start investigating me, which is crazy. Finally, since they wanted to, you know, really go there with this whole dementia story, I don't think they realized that they were actually caught on Candid Cam taking her cell phone and bullying her for her own device and refusing it to give it back, playing games and having her literally try to wrestle them back for her own cell phone. So, you know, I just want to put it out there. If there is any unauthorized transactions or transfers that came from her phone, and those of us that work in the field know that there's these footprints, guys. You don't work in fraud and AML, but there's footprints that can be tracked back to phones. If there's any transfers from her phones, it's probably from someone who took her phone and was fooling around with it and refused to give it back. Just a heads up. So the mere fact that this family member closed a joint account prior, and this is the supposed one that was ill in my custody, that we cleared out. She was in good health because she walked into that branch and she seemed so well. That trained individuals, these tellers and bankers who are very well trained in observing whether the elderly has any kind of mental illness, dementia, experiencing any kind of abuse, because they have to fill out these elderly abuse reports. They did not find anything wrong with her mental abilities when she was here within my area. Before going to do the excursions in the graveyard. She was just fine, fine enough where they didn't feel the need to call a joint account holder and call me in to validate that this account should be closed. They just did it. So that further validates that her mental capacity must have been stable when she did that prior to her departure. Now, as we move forward, you know, I share all of this to say that, first and foremost, 40 weeks of prayer and fasting. Oh, Lord, 40 weeks of prayer and fasting brought on this breakthrough, guys. If you guys don't have faith, I want to share. I'm sharing personally my testimony with you all to let you know that what I was up against, it felt like Satan himself, because it was just so many people plotting, planning behind the scenes and contributing, and it was a diabolical mess at its best. I mean, until the mask started to slip off of these cunning, jealous, thieving family members, it was daunting for me to understand the extent that they would have gone to steal property, to steal inheritance, identity theft, hacking, bribing, gang stalking, privacy invasion, all to cover up these family secrets and take what doesn't belong to them. That's what this all boiled down to. And let me say this as well. The religious groups, any politicians bribed, community members that were used to partake in these state-to-state RICO crimes and assist these family members, I really truly hope that solving this case will help you solve other cold cases that were just left open. People could not understand why. So we're getting to the why today, and I'm excited because justice is finally near, guys. Justice is finally near. And part of my testimony of how God will have the final say is in this podcast today. Do you hear me, somebody? All that graveyard dirt, food poisoning, privacy invasion, slander, defamation, setups, job losses. Ooh, Lord. Ooh, somebody. Ooh, come down to my faith, y'all. My faith in the Most High moving this surmounting mountain. When I'm telling you I didn't know who I could trust, who I could talk to, I had to fall on my knees and say, God, I give it all up. I can't figure out how many people are involved in this plotting scheme. You know, actually, I'm still contemplating on releasing the footage of these three musketeers. So, but I don't want to compromise any further investigations for the Alphabet boys and girls. So maybe I'll take a poll. You guys tell me what you think. Should I share the footage with you all so you can see them in action? You know, it's not funny anymore when the rabbit has the gun, huh? Joking around and playing with someone's livelihood doesn't seem like a key matter anymore, huh? In any case, now we're faced with truth, guys. We're faced with truth. That's what it all boils down to now. After all the lies, fun and games, telling people, you know, don't listen to her. She don't know what she's talking about. And you know, don't follow her with this Christ belief. You know, come follow us in our witchcraft and sorcery, excuse me, that we got going on out here in the graveyard. Well, look at you now. That's what I said when I looked at the camera. Look at you now. Thought you was getting paper, huh? Doing all of this for some money. The truth is, as we're faced with this truth, the question that many still want to know, why would a grandfather leave one grandchild so much more than the other? I'm sure he would know it would stir this kind of jealousy and envy. But maybe we need to consider this. Perhaps I'm not his grandchild. And I know I'm opening a can of paint that I'm hoping these FBI boys and girls could finally address and close this chapter. And I will share the rest of this story with you all on more upcoming podcasts. But until then, I want to thank you all so much for your support, your fasting, your steadfast prayer. We have broken through the secrets and the lies that have been placed not just on my life and those that I love the most, my children, for far too long. And as my grandmother, or should I say my mother-in-law, would say, I'm thankful for spared life. Rest in peace, Granny. And Grandpa, I can't forget about you. I want to thank you for loving me and my children so much beyond the grave, even through these secrets and these lies that may not make these other individuals comfortable or feel respectable. I just want to get to the truth and live my life out in peace with me and my children. And last but not least, I have not forgotten about the multitude of Freemasons that were set upon me and my family. They waged war heavy. You bribed them and pulled them in on this. And I've asked them multiple times to do the right thing. Those of you who listened to my prior podcast, I asked those in leadership of the Freemason community to do the right thing and back them down because this is not right. And they chose not to. They forged ahead. They took the bribes and partook in this massive RICO crime set up and even used energy weapons on me and my children to impair our health, and ultimately hope that I might lose my mind before the truth was exposed. You know, I'm thankful to God that I am sane. With all the gaslighting, with all the games that were being played mentally and physically on my health, I'm just a living testimony that if you have faith, it can carry you a very long way. And I truly hope that those of you who are experiencing this from this particular Masonic community, if you're experiencing the stalking, the poisoning, the mold, they like to pump mold in people's, black mold is very dangerous, and they pump that in their homes. Any of this stuff, if you're experiencing, I hope that my story gives you the confidence to speak up, because I'm going to tell them right now. First of all, I'm not afraid, number one. Number two, I'm hoping that I have opened the door for many to come forward and not just verify what it is that I'm saying, but also if they're victims, to share their stories, because the goal is to put you in a state of fear, and you have to speak up. You have to push back, because God did not create us to be in fear. Okay? So guys, remember, I'm just opening the door. I need you to walk through and carry your own cross. I want to thank you all who supported me from the bottom of my heart. All of our valued guests who have added just so much value to this podcast. I'm talking about Sister Sharon, Brother Thomas, Pastor Moody, Sister Nina, Pastor Peter, and all of you supporters that follow each and every podcast and add comment. I see you, and I appreciate you. Oh, my gosh. Those of you who have even answered the call, even just for a season, to help me and my children endure all of the warfare that was set upon us, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for believing in this podcast, believing in me, believing in my story, and helping me find my voice through all of this madness. We did it, fam. We did it. We got the breakthrough, and we broke the matrix of lies. Guys, we did it. May God bless all of you abundantly. So keep tuning in. And until the next time, thank you again. And I look forward to the next Can We Talk with Jewel podcast. Love you all. Bye.